Thank you for the music this morning. This is kind of a transitional time in the life of our church and in the life of many of us. Next week, we will be going to one service. And so for most Sundays, the sanctuary will be a little fuller. So we want you to be aware of that and maybe even move up a little bit. Thinking about that, if you are a visitor and you're coming to church and all the back pews are already taken, how difficult it is to walk through everybody while everybody is staring at you to find a seat. So we want you to be aware of that. Today is graduation Sunday. It's the day that we set aside each year for honoring our high school graduates. And this year, we are honoring 7 graduates, 6 of them who are regular attenders at church, and another one who has been a regular attender of our MYF throughout her 4 years in high school, and I even think long before that. It is actually a milestone event in the lives of these youth. It marks the time when they go from being a youth to being an adult, just like that. Next Sunday, or whenever their graduation is, they will walk across the stage, they will receive their diploma, and their life will be changed forever. There will be no more fun and games. You will be expected to know exactly where you're going to college, what you're going to major in, how long you're going to go to college for, and what job you're going to have when you graduate from college. And hopefully it will be a job that will pay enough that at some point in your lifetime, you will be able to pay off the debt that you accumulated in all those years of college. According to a recent Forbes article, student loan debt in the United States is now the 2nd highest consumer debt category behind only home mortgage debt. The average college student loan or debt in the class of 2016 was more than $37,000. More than 2 million people in the United States have student loan debt of more than $100,000. And 500,000 people have student loan debt of more than $200,000. And interestingly, as our economy and the job market is growing, ever it be so slight, and the unemployment rate is dropping, the number of people defaulting on their college loans is increasing. Welcome to America in the 21st century. And not to be a downer to those who are graduating and going off to college, but we do need to be realistic. The decisions that we make today have consequences that affect us for a long time. And as much pressure as our high school students today feel to have it all figured out, what major that they're going to take, which is going to lead to the exact job that they want to have when they graduate, the reality is, according to the National Center for Educational Statistics, about 80% of students will change their major at least once while they're in college. On average, college students change their major 3 times. So to say that you have to have it all figured out before going off to college is not reality. And the reality is that we need to recognize that. And the challenge for you today is to try to figure out how to navigate all that without accumulating too much debt. But today, I would like to talk about something that is even more important than trying to figure out what we're all going to do when we grow up, or how much money we're going to make, or even whether we're going to go to college or not. What I want to talk about today is discerning God's will for our lives in all the decisions of our lives, in both the small decisions and in the big decisions. Because my guess is that if we can get the small decisions right, we are probably going to get the big decisions right, and vice versa. If we make bad decisions with the small ones, we're probably going to make bad choices in the big decisions. The beginning of Romans chapter 12, which it seems like we have referred to a lot recently, is the beginning of how God wants us to live, those of us who have accepted the great mercy that God has given to us through Jesus Christ. We have acknowledged our own sinfulness, and we have turned to Jesus Christ as the only source of our salvation and as Lord of our lives. And the Apostle Paul begins, "I appeal to you, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, the good and acceptable and the perfect will of God." Well, Merriam-Webster's dictionary defines discernment as the ability to be able to grasp and comprehend what is obscure, the power to see what is not evident to the average mind. And it defines discern as to detect with the eyes or to detect with senses other than vision, to recognize as separate and distinct, or to discriminate between two things, like right and wrong. That's the secular definition of discernment. And Christian discernment is both similar and it is different. Christian discernment takes into account the secular definition, but it brings in the triune God of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And today we are looking at discerning God's will for our lives as individuals, but next week we're going to be starting a new series entitled Discerning God's Will Together. Ruth Haley Barton, who I consider to be one of my mentors and who I will be studying with along with 70 other pastors from around the country this week in Chicago, Monday to Wednesday, in her book, Pursuing God's Will Together, which is one of the resources we'll be drawing from during our series, defines Christian discernment as the capacity to recognize and respond to the presence and the activity of God, both in the ordinary moments and in the larger decisions of our lives. Discernment and doing the will of God through the help of God's Word, both the written Word that we find in the Bible and the living Word, Jesus Christ, and through the power of the Holy Spirit, is what distinguishes Christian discernment from any other kind of discernment. And Barton says, Christian discernment is challenging because it requires us to move beyond reliance on human thinking and planning to a place of deep listening and responding to the Spirit of God within us and among us. When we make decisions, whether big or small, we should be making them not because of what we like or don't like, or what we think is right or wrong, or what our society tells us is right and wrong, but the decision should be based on what God wants us to do and what He sees as right and wrong. And we set ourselves up for failure if we think it's easy. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So does God really care about what college or university you go to? Yes. And it might be different for you than it is for somebody else. Does God care about what you major in? Yes. Does He care about what job you have after you graduate from college or if you don't go to college? Yes. The bottom line is God cares about every decision that we make. Does He care about how much money we make? Probably not. But He does care about what we do with the money we make. And he probably cares about how much debt we go into, whether it be for college or for buying things such as our homes and our cars and all the things that we like. Actually, I like the NIV translation of Romans chapter 12, verse 1. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world. It's very easy for us to get caught up in the patterns of this world. What God cares most about is that we bring Him glory and honor in whatever it is we do. And we can bring Him glory and honor in just about everything that we do. We can bring Him glory and honor in just about any job that we do, though there are probably some jobs that we don't bring Him glory and honor in, and I probably don't need to tell you what those are. But the truth is that we can bring dishonor to God in just about any job that we do as well. We can dishonor God in our ministry jobs. We have a greater chance of dishonoring God in our ministry jobs than any other. There's a reason why God gives qualifications for pastors, elders, and other leaders in the church found in the Bible. Because when we fall, and we're all capable of falling, it does great harm to the church, to the body of Christ here on earth today. And we don't have to look very far. All you need to do is look at the different newspapers and the media accounts, which are full of stories of pastors and other Christian leaders who have fallen. There are not too many churches in our own community that haven't been affected at some point in their history. And it takes a very long time for churches to recover, and some never do. But the truth is, it's not just the leaders who are responsible. It's all Christians. The non-Christian world is watching us, and they're just waiting for us to fall and to see what our response is going to be. And that's when it becomes even more important in discerning God's will. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. That should take away any doubt that Christianity is more than just a religion of our emotions. God has given us our human minds for a very important reason, that by testing, we may discern what is the will of God, what is the good and acceptable and the perfect will of God. There are some decisions in our lives that are pretty clear in Scripture. Though we live in a world that is mostly blinded by the words of Scripture, we live in a world today in which many who even claim to be Christian seem to be blinded by the words of Scripture. The authority that the written Word of God once held in the church does not seem to have that same authority today. So we pick and choose what commands of God that we like, and we disregard the others. Or we try and pick the Scriptures apart by saying, well, does it really mean that? Or that's what it meant back then, but does it still mean that today? And there's some level that we do need to do that. In fact, that's what it really means to discern, to pick apart, to discriminate, to determine right and wrong. And at some level, we are all still blinded to the words of Scripture. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, now we see but a poor reflection in a mirror, then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. But again, there are some things that are quite clear in Scripture. And when we disregard them at our own peril. And if we teach them, then even greater peril. The disciple James warned, Not many of you should presume to be teachers, my brothers and sisters, because we know, or you know, that we who teach will be judged more strictly. What James was saying is that if we teachers don't know, then we should know. But there's a lot of things that are not so clearly spelled out in the Bible. You will not find what college or university you should attend in the Bible. You shall not find what job you should have in the Bible. You will not find whether you should get married or not in the Bible. Though if you are a believer in Christ, it tells you that if you believe that God is calling you to get married, it tells you what you should look for in your spouse, but many believers today disregard that. Do not be yoked together with unbelievers, for what do righteousness and wickedness have in common? Or what fellowship can light have with wickedness or darkness? In our call to worship this morning, God says through the prophet Jeremiah, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope." God has a plan for every single one of us. And in the midst of that plan, he gives us great free will. He gives us free will to choose choices. And somehow in God's providence and sovereignty, he works with our choices. And sometimes we make good choices, and sometimes we make bad choices. It's like we're going on a journey that we have never seen before, or we've never gone on before, but God has given us a map. And the map is called the Bible, and the map contains all the main roads, like the state roads and the interstates, but it doesn't give us all the side roads, like the town roads or the gravel roads that we need to travel during our life here on earth. And then we get to forks in the road, and we need to make choices. And a lot of times, it really isn't the choice between a good choice and a bad choice. It's the choice between a good choice and a good choice. And we really don't know which one is better. But God works with all our choices. He even works with our bad choices. Because somewhere up ahead, we're going to get to another fork in the road, and we're going to have to make another choice. And if we've been making bad choices, God is always calling us to choose to get back on the right road, to make our way back to the state road, or better yet, to the interstate. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good. For those who are called according to his purpose, for those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, in order that he might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. And those whom he predestined, he also called. And to those whom he called, he also justified. And to those whom he justified, he also has glorified. Most of all, God's will for our lives as Christians is that we all be conformed to the image of his Son, Jesus Christ. And that is not an easy task, and it is not something that we can do on our own power. We can only accomplish it through the grace of God and by the power of the Holy Spirit. And if we are truly being conformed into the image of Jesus, then the decisions that we make, whether they're big or small, would be the decisions that Jesus would make if he were in our shoes making those decisions. On Friday of this past week, I received word that one of my other mentors, Chuck Temple, who was the pastor at Vineyard Christian Fellowship in Belle Fountain, passed away very suddenly and unexpectedly. For anybody that knew him, including just about every other pastor that I know of, Chuck Temple was a very special man who will be missed not only by his family and not only by his church family, but by the entire Logan County Christian community. He had a very unique ability to be able to display both God's grace and not to compromise God's word in the midst of that grace. He was such a unique individual, somebody that I respected so much, that a number of years ago, which I'm not sure exactly how many now, but when my daughter and my future son-in-law came to me and said, "We want to get married, will you marry us?" I thought about it for a long time, and I said, "I tell you what, if you go to Chuck Temple for premarital counseling, and at the end of the counseling, he says he will marry you, then I will marry you." Several months later, Chuck came to me and he said, "I would marry them." I said, "That's not the answer I wanted." But I respected his decision so much that a couple years ago, when my other daughter came to me and said they want to get married, I said, "I tell you what, you go to premarital counseling with Chuck Temple, and if he says that he will marry you, I will marry you." I looked up to him so much that several years ago I went to him and I said, "Would you be willing to meet with me once a month?" And graciously he said yes. So for the past couple years, I've met with him and a couple other senior pastors for 2 hours once a month over coffee and donuts, and mostly just to be able to soak in what they learned throughout all their years of ministry. And I realized over the weekend that it will never be the same without Chuck leading the group. But over the past year, as I've thought about it, it's almost like he knew his life here on earth was getting close to the end. And he always shared how he believed that God had put him in a position of influence, an influence for his family, for his church, and in the community. He felt that he was called to be an influencer of righteousness, an influencer of God's righteousness. And ultimately, as Christians, we are all called to be influencers of God's righteousness. Because whether we like it or not, once we make the claim that we're Christian, we are either influencing others for Christ's righteousness or against Christ's righteousness in everything we say and do. And that's why it's important that we discern God's will in every decision that we make, whether it's large or small. And if you are young or college age or young adult, I would encourage you to seek out a good mentor or two, someone who is a good influencer for God and for Christ's righteousness, someone to help you make those decisions, especially the big ones when you're trying to discern God's will for your life. Let us pray. Lord God, we come to you on this very special day or this very special time of year in which we honor the youth among us who are celebrating a milestone in their life, graduating from high school, and trying to discern where you may be leading them in the next stage of their lives. No matter what they decide, whether to go to college or not, what to major in, what job to pursue, whether to marry or not to marry, who to marry, both in the big decisions and the small decisions, may they seek you and discern your will, not for their own benefit, but for your glory and your honor and your righteousness. In the name of Jesus, the King of righteousness, we pray. Amen.